from the rising tide of anti-Semitism worldwide to the scriptures, the time of the coming of Messiah. We'll tackle it today, right here on The Line of Fire.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, there are prophetic scriptures that speak about the people of Israel, people in Jerusalem, Jewish people coming under attack at the end of the age, that speak of worldwide conspiracy or alliance against Israel and the Jewish people. Does that mean we should be expecting ever-increasing Jew hatred, anti-Semitism around the world, or is that a wrong deduction to come to? Where do we stand today? I want to talk to you about that on this Thoroughly Jewish Thursday here on The Line of Fire. Want to take your Jewish questions? Here's the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Still got some questions from last week's Kosher Jesus debate in New York City that we haven't gotten to, that were sent in. So if you got a question, Jewish-related, if you don't agree with our faith, theology, beliefs, and you're a Jewish person, want to express why, love to talk to you. Got a question about what Jewish people believe or messianic prophecy, that kind of thing. We try to take those calls on Thursdays, 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. Also, not sure when I'm going to get to it, but I want to talk to you about the timing of the coming of the Messiah. Was he expected 2,000 years ago? According to Scripture, did he have to arrive 2,000 years ago? Are there scriptures that point in that direction? Is there a rabbinic tradition that points in that direction? Obviously, we don't look at rabbinic tradition the way we look at scripture, but it's interesting when those with a belief system different than yours, because obviously the traditional rabbis through the centuries have not embraced Jesus as Messiah. It's interesting when you find sentiments, thoughts, things expressed within those specific traditions that are in harmony with what you believe. Just interesting. It's kind of corollary evidence. So we'll talk about all that today. A lot to get into on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. You, I assume, have heard about the terrible shootings in France, and now the terrorist involved with this, Islamic terrorist, has been killed. He's dead. Let's again understand that the majority of Muslims worldwide are not terrorists, that the majority of Muslims worldwide are not shooting babies and children or blowing themselves up in suicide bombings. But there's a considerable number. If there are over 1.5 billion Muslims in the world, if 10% of them are radical in their thinking and their mindset and their theology or extremist, that's 150 million people. That's half the population of America. Picture of half the population of America had extremist beliefs and they were willing to kill for those beliefs. So it's a substantial number of people, no matter how you look at it. But a terrible tragedy in France. First, the murder of three soldiers. Well, that's terrible. It's tragic. It doesn't grab your attention, though, the way you get grabbed when you find out about this same murderer, the same Islamic terrorist in France, shooting in cold blood, a rabbi with his little children. I mean, you're talking a four-year-old girl, other little kids on their way to school, on their way to religious Jewish school in France, gunned down in cold blood. And what's shocking, a quote that's getting a lot of circulation, Baroness Catherine Ashton, the European Union foreign policy chief, said, when we remember what happened in Toulouse today in France, we remember what happened when I was in Norway last week, a year ago, terrible mass murder there. When we know what's happening in Syria, when we see what's happening in Gaza and Sderot, in different parts of the world, we remember young people and children who lose their lives. So she equates Israel's battle with Hamas in Gaza with the cold-blooded murder of little children in France. Mind-boggling. A lot to talk about. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Do you think that Jew hatred is on the rise worldwide? Do you think that we should expect more of it, either based on scripture or based on just the condition of the society? Or do you think that constant claims of anti-Semitism could be a way for Jews to justify their behavior or Israel policies? If anyone dares differ with them, they're called anti-Semites. What do you think? 866-34-TRUTH. Some interesting stats, some disturbing stats from different parts of the world. Look at this. Jews in Norway say they do not feel safe. And according to a best-selling Norwegian author, I'm not sure the pronunciation, Hanne Herland, her country is the most anti-Semitic in the West. Norway, famous for tolerance. Norway, famous for, lenient attitudes. Here's an article, Arutz Sheva. Irvin Cohn, head of the Jewish community in Oslo, said on Monday, this could just have easily happened in Norway, talking about the slaughter of the Jewish children and the rabbi in France. We do not feel safe. He added that the Jewish community is a vulnerable group and would like to see permanent police protection in its institutions. 11 serious anti-Semitic incidents were recorded in Norway last month. This included several death threats made against Norwegian Jews. And Hanne Herland, Norwegian author whose new book, Respect, tops the Norwegian bestseller book list, in an interview for Arutz Sheva with Israeli anti-Semitism expert Manfred Gerstenfeld, Herland called Norway the most anti-Semitic country in the Western world. She added, the Norwegian government indirectly accepts the Hamas agenda, where its main goals include ethnic cleansing, terror, and genocide against the Jews. Herland wondered whether Norway can be considered a free democratic state. Very, very interesting. 866-34-TRUTH. I want to invite you to call if you actually believe that there is a Jewish Zionist conspiracy to take over the world. I actually want you to call. I'm not going to give you the whole show or let you talk for 20 minutes, but if you'd like to express that point of view, that Jews control the media, that Jews control the money system, that Jews control world politics, that America is a pawn of the Zionist conspiracy. If you believe that, I'd like to give you some free airtime. I pay for this radio time, but I'd like to give you some free airtime to express your views. Oh, I hear from you in different settings. You'll write to me at different times, and you'll explain your conspiracy theories. Every so often, when it's off topic, you may call in and give me your theories and explain how today's Jews are not really Jews, although at the same time, these Jews are trying to take over the world. Fascinating. 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 You're welcome to call, will you? I'll ask you a couple of questions in terms of your sources of information, but I want to give you an invitation to call. 866-34-TRUTH. Remember, you can go to the streets of New York City, where folks are listening to me all over greater New York right now, and you can find copies of the Protocols of the Elders of Zion for sale on the streets. Street vendor selling them. And I'm sure there are Islamic bookstores that sell them. And if you've got any neo-Nazi stores hidden somewhere, they sell them. Protocols of the Elders of Zion. Oh, yes, this was a plot, a secret plot that was unearthed. That's right. 300 Jewish leaders about 100 years ago, all over the world, they're planning and plotting to take over the entire world. And when they take over the entire world, you know what they're going to do? They're going to bring the entire world into subjection to the Hindu god Vishnu. I kid you not. That's in the protocols. It's a famous forgery of the Russian secret police. But the fact of the matter is, these things are widely believed to this day in the Muslim world, that the protocols are real, And they're believed in parts of America, different people believing them, that at any time, and you know, there are these 300 Jews, this cabal of Jewish leaders, and they're secretly plotting and planning to take over the world, and there is a massive Zionist conspiracy. If you believe that, I'm going to give you an opportunity to share that with our listeners. How's that? 866-34-TRUTH. This is not a setup, by the way. I'm not having an actor call in and do this. I'm not having someone set up to call in to make that position look bad and extreme. I'm legitimately soliciting this from people I don't know. 866-34-TRUTH. All right, before we go to someone who believes this conspiracy, so hang in there. Butch, we'll get to you momentarily. David in New York City, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. Sorry to hear about the emergency things that went on in France. Sad. I hope, you know, they bring them to law, and I hope, you know, people look more into it here and, you know, over there in Europe. They need to take back their countries over there. And I had one question for you. I heard a pastor preaching on the radio, and he was mentioning something about Jewish calendar and that we were at the end of the 6,000 year going into the 7,000 year, which is the last year in the coming of the Messiah. And that's somewhere in the book of Daniel. And I wanted to know, can you, listen?
You're not going to get that. And I'm going to get into this later in the broadcast, David, in terms of times of Messiah and so on. But if you're looking at a Jewish calendar, you're not going to get this from Daniel, really. But if you're looking at a Jewish calendar and you see that we're well into the 5760s on the Jewish calendar, so that would mean then that if you had 6,000 years before the coming of the Messiah, or the Messiah coming within that time frame, which I'll address a little later in the show, then we're nearing the end of history, even according to that. But I'm going to get into this, if not the next half hour, the second hour of the broadcast, I'm going to get into this subject of the timing when the Messiah was expected to come. Was he expected to come actually almost 2,000 years ago? And what does Scripture say about that? But the other thing is, there may be a Jewish expectation in the coming of the Messiah, which for us will work out to actually be the return of the Messiah. But David, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. Butch we lost Butch. You know what must have happened? Andrew, I think I know what happened. I think he was about to reveal some secrets, and the Jewish conspirators listening to the show that monitor this show knew that he was about to reveal secrets, probably located where he was. Probably because he was on the phone long enough, probably tracked his call, got to his house, and cut the phone lines. That's what I think actually happened. Okay, look, I'm a New York Jew. Sarcasm runs in my veins, all right? No, Andrew, it wasn't aliens. That's a different subject. That's a different show. It was not aliens. This, I think, was another manifestation. Jewish aliens. That's it. The alien invasions are controlled by a Jewish alien conspiracy. All right. 866-34-TRUTH. Hey, some folks have some serious view. Hey, look at Jewish influence. Jewish population, 3% of the American population? What's the actual number? Is it 3% of the American population? Look at the influence Jews have. Look at the influence Jews have in the media. Look at the influence Jews have in the monetary world. Hey, is there something to this? That's what some would say. 866-34-TRUTH. Look at this. Within France. Within France, 24% of the population holds anti-Semitic views. This is according to the Anti-Defamation League. I can't verify everything the ADL says, but based on their surveys and things that would be considered anti-Semitic, so certain libels that are believed, certain false statements that are believed, certain caricatures of Jews that are believed, 24% of the French population holds anti-Semitic views. Somebody check for me, what is the population of Germany? that actually knows very little about the Holocaust, the percentage of the population, young people. Here's a typical sermon, Palestinian television, Palestinian Authority television in the West Bank. Every evil and catastrophe in the whole world is caused by the Jews. In Spain, where Jewish civic groups say Spaniards blame their economic woes on the country's Jews, 72% of the population holds anti-Jewish views, compared with 64% in 2009. Hey, can I just tell you something? We have, if we have a massive economic collapse here in America, if we do, you know who's going to get blamed for it? Take a guess. We'll be back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. It's Thursday, Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. We're talking about the rising tide of anti-Semitism. We're talking about those that may believe that there's a Jewish conspiracy to control the entire world and therefore anti-Semitism is justified. Yeah, we're even asking folks to call in who hold to those viewpoints so we can discuss them on the air. 866-348-7884. By the way, if we're going to be doing special offers with my book, Real Kosher Jesus, and getting them out to you every way that we know how. We're going to be doing some book giveaways. We've got a special edition that you can purchase. That we're the only ones that have the hardcover edition, and you can purchase that for $30 postage paid, or get a numbered and signed copy for $50 postage paid by calling 1-800-278-9978. So this is a unique edition. It's hardcover of The Real Kosher Jesus. It's going to be out in less than 2 weeks. Hardcover, numbered and signed, only the first 500, so it's got to be done soon. $50 special edition. Call 1-800-278-9978. Those of you that want to just buy multiple copies and give them out in paperback, just want to let you know it's on Amazon already at a ridiculously low price. I have no idea how this happened. Take advantage of it. I don't expect it to last. If you want to buy a whole bunch of them, go to Amazon.com and get The Real Kosher Jesus, but buy them by the boatload. I'm not quite sure how it ended up at this price, but go for it, seriously. And you want to bless our ministry, sow into our ministry, get the hardcover special edition, awesome. You want to give these out as outreach tools, get a whole bunch of them. It's all right, Amazon.com. Just giving you a little hint there, 866-34-TRUTH. Robert in Boston, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, how you doing? My name is Robert. I'm calling here in Boston in regards to the anti-Semitic tide that's growing in America. I think it's more than a tide. I think it's more serious than a lot of Jewish people would like to admit, and I don't think they should make light of it or think it's a joke. It really has nothing to do with anything with Islam or anything that they're saying that's going on. People have valid points in regards to the Jewish control, manipulation of media, and fabrication of wars here in the United States. All people of all races and ethnicity.
All right, so give me, Robert, give me an example of Jewish control of the media. Israel often gets blasted here in the American media, and, you know, that happens commonplace. I have many examples, documented examples of unfair reporting. Dan Rather himself told me at a public forum 20 years ago that the media holds Israel to a higher account. And a Palestinian scholar or a Lebanese scholar said back then that Israel uses nerve gas and there's world outrage. Excuse me, Israel uses tear gas. There's world outrage over it. The Iraqis use nerve gas, kill their own people. No one says anything about it. So I'm curious to hear about the Jewish twisting of things in the media. And you said fabricated wars as well. So So please enlighten us.
Right. For instance, this radio station here is a radio station that is very influenced by Jews, and guys like yourself and Jay Sekulow. I think a lot of us think that it's just...
What did you say his name was?
secular.
Secular.
I listen to this Christian's radio basically to hear, listen to the message of God, but there comes a point in the day where it becomes a propaganda machine in regards to beating up the war drum for Iran and misrepresenting facts. That's total fabrication.
So just tell me how, Robert, tell me how, so you're just saying WECE, you're listening in Boston, WECE,
right.
Christian-owned company, Salem Communications. So out of the course of 24 hours, you're saying that there are two of us, two Jews, on the air, and we are dominating it. And then I spend one day a week on Jewish-related issues like Jewish outreach and messianic prophecy and things like that. And yet Jews are dominating WECE and beating the war drums against Iran. So since you're talking to me directly, please enlighten me and tell me when I have – I want to hear facts because it's very helpful. Facts really
right.
help me, Robert.
Tell
me how I beat
stuff...
the war drums. Just please explain how I have beat the war drums for America to go to war against Iran or Israel to bomb their nuclear reactors. Just please, I'd love to hear how I've done that.
Right. Well, the logic behind the successful wars, making the stories in regards to different ethnicities being attacked in Iran, this is not true. Iran is the second largest population of where Jewish people actually live. There is no
Hang on. I didn't ask you about Santa Claus. I didn't ask you about Martians or elves. I didn't ask you about anything I've never said. What have I said? What have I said? You made an accusation because we want to deal with truth here. First, you said something totally bogus that WECE is dominated by Jews or controlled by Jews. That's nonsense. That's number one.
No, I never said WECE.
No, you said the radio station.
I pointed two individuals, you yourself and Jay Sekulow. I didn't say the other programmers were.
But how is that dominating? How out of that's an hour and a half out of 24 hours of radio. And most of the week I don't focus on Jewish issues. And I've never once, Robert, in a single broadcast in thousands of hours of broadcasting, beat war drums against Iran. Now, if this
you are not going to come out and actually say, I want you to go to war.
What have I said that relates to it? What have I said that relates to it, Robert, in any way? What have I said that relates to beating a war drum against Iran in any way, sir?
I just feel that the tone in itself is very pro-war, and it's not really explaining what.
But, Robert, I feel right now that you are trying to bomb. I feel right now that you are actually trying to find my location so you can drop a bomb on me. What do you think about that? Tone of your voice, I think that's what you're actually trying to do.
We couldn't live on assumptions now.
Exactly. Robert, that's what you've done with me. That's what you've done with me. You're living on nothing other than baseless assumptions. You got the conspiracy thing, sir, in your own head. And when a Jewish follower of Jesus gets on this radio show, lifting people up in Jesus, calling them to follow Jesus with passion, calling them to reach the Jewish people with the gospel, and talking a particular day about anti-Semitism, somehow in your mind, that's beating war drums against Iran. I've never once even addressed the issue or anything that relates to it. So here, I want to encourage you to do something, sir, all right? You said that you listened to the station because you want to grow in the Lord. And I've got a break coming up here, so just got to cut this here. If you'd give me some actual facts, if you had actually given me some facts or quotes or shows or things I've said or things I've even nearly said or hinted at, we could have had a discussion. Something, sir, is going on in your head, which is as baseless as the nonsensical thing that I said that you're trying to find my location to bomb me. I was trying to make a point. Go to the Lord, Robert, and say, God, wash out of my brain all these assumptions. Where I'm right, confirm it. Where I'm wrong, show me, so I can be a man based on truth. Didn't Jesus say the truth would set us free? Would you do that, Robert? I hope you will. Thank you, sir, for calling. All right. Friends, I think with a call like that, all the more you know that we're called to be on the radio here. Stand with me. Order a copy of The Real Kosher Jesus today. We alone have the hardcover. Get it for $30 postage paid, be out in less than 2 weeks, or do something special. Sow into our ministry and do something special. Get a collector's item, $50, numbered and signed hardcover edition, 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. Together, friends, we really are making a difference.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire today. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Boy, there was a wonderful call we just received from Robert in Boston. Wonderful, not because I take joy in hearing someone have the particular views that he has, but wonderful in that it does expose how people can get things in their heads. People can get things in their brains, in their minds, stuck in their craw, and they see everything through that vantage point. You know, let's just say you were looking at an athlete. Let's say it was Tim Tebow, and his whole thing is football is a platform for him to glorify Jesus, but he's an athlete. He plays hard. He goes for it. And you don't know him, and you hear someone say, yeah, he's filled with ambition. He just wants everyone to see him. That's why he does all these crazy things. And then you see he kneels down in prayer. Oh. And then you see he pushes so hard on the field. And yeah, now with the New York Jets, right? Amazing. So he does those. Oh, yeah, he's ambitious. And actually, you're judging him wrongly. We can all do that. Jews are not without fault. My people are not without fault, okay? I understand why some people don't like Jews, and I understand why some people don't like Germans or Italians or Koreans or Hispanics or whoever. We all have our ways, some good, some bad. Everybody's different. Per person, per capita, in America, I believe Jews give more in terms of philanthropy than other individuals. I mean, very, very high levels of giving among Jewish philanthropists. And many wealthy people give away large amounts of their money as Jews. And then a higher percentage of Jews who are atheists in America than the general population. You know, you've got all kinds of mixes. And yes, Jews can be very successful. And you have successful Jews like Howard Stern and Jerry Springer that bring me no Jewish pride. I mean, I understand that. When people have these ideas, these conspiracy theories, these concepts, and everything they see through that lens, it's unfortunate, it's sad, but it is the truth that sets us free. 866-34-TRUTH. We're talking about rising tide of anti-Semitism. The second hour, I want to get into some issues having to do with the timing of the Messiah's coming. But right now, let's continue to think through these issues about anti-Semitism. 866-34-TRUTH. Yosef in Canada, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown.
Hello.
Hey, first off, thanks for sending me those books.
Ah, wonderful. Good, I'm glad they arrived.
Yeah. Okay. Now, I want to give you a chance to maybe backtrack a bit, because you said something a few minutes ago that I really, really don't like. And maybe I misunderstood.
Yeah, go ahead.
Maybe you misspoke, but I think you said that you understand why some people don't like Jews.
Yeah, well, they don't like Jews, or they don't like Hispanics or Koreans. In other words, everybody has certain personality traits, and no two people are the same, but every group may have certain personality traits known for that group. And, you know, some people don't like German personality traits. Some people don't like Italian personality traits. Some people don't like Jewish personality traits, to the extent we can be caricatured. So I understand that.
Okay.
Yeah, I was in a cab one time in New York City, and the cab driver was explaining to me, he didn't realize I was Jewish, was explaining to me that the reason people hate the Jews are because the Jews are really bad and really obnoxious and the worst people in the world. He said, of course, that's why they hate the Jews. So, I mean, that's an anti-Semitic statement. But to say, go ahead.
No, definitely that's an anti-Semitic statement. And a lot of the times people don't realize that we're Jews and that they're talking to Jews.
Right, which is interesting. But, you know, Yosef, for example, Germans can be very systematic and, you know, everything done a certain way. Some people have a problem with that personality. Jews sometimes can be very vocal and opinionated. People have, you know, everybody has their strengths, weaknesses. That's all I was saying. And to that extent. Hey, if you want to talk to me about the books, stay on the air.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. We are in the midst of a conversation about anti-Semitism. Is it on the rise? I'm giving the opportunity for those who actually believe there is a Jewish conspiracy to take over the entire world, that Jews dominate the media, finances, even orchestrate world wars, that America is even a pawn of Israel. If you believe in those things, give me a call. But please try to come with facts as much as you can, all right? 866-34-TRUTH. All right, back to Yosef. Somewhere in small little country of Canada. You were a different person when you called, but it wasn't Yosef last time, was it?
Yeah, it was Yosef.
It was Yosef? Okay.
Yeah, it's just, it's not my real name.
Yeah, got it, that's fine. You deal with your confidentiality. We're good with that. But back all to right. you, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, it's just, I got these books now, because my last comment was about the anti-Semitism and everything, right? And why Jesus can't be the Messiah because of it. And, well, since I just got these this morning, thanks, by the way, I haven't really got a chance to look at them. But you called, you're talking about anti-Semitism and whether it's on the rise. I want to know, like, do you think that it's on the rise?
Yes, I do. I think that for a few reasons. After the Holocaust, there was a letting up because of the horrors of it and the depth of the manifestation of Jew hatred that was actually seen in Nazi Germany and in Europe. But what's happened is there continues to be world opinion mounting against Israel. When you have the murderer in France say that he did this to avenge Palestinian children, when Israel is now caricatured. See, it's one thing when the pictures of Jews that everyone has or the Jews being slaughtered in the concentration camps, there's some sympathy for that. But when Jews have strength, when Jews have a strong military, as they do in Israel, now somehow Israel becomes the monster. Israel becomes the Goliath threatening poor little David. So
well, we can't win, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, I do believe it's on the increase. It's on the increase in college campuses. Yeah. Professors talk about it, even how difficult it is to get certain clear views about Israel out in the world of academia, even publishing some things, the resistance that they find. Now, I know Palestinians would turn around and say the media is against us, the media blasts us, it's not fair. I understand each one has that perspective. But yeah, I certainly see it rising. And whether we are nearing the time of Messiah's return, we're certainly getting closer every day. Everybody understands that. But whether we're very close to it, we know passages like Zechariah 12 and 14 speak of all the nations coming against Jerusalem. So I expect to see always a strong remnant, true Christians and others showing themselves as friends of Israel, as is the case today, and others turning with all-out hostility against Israel.
Yeah. Well, the reason why they can get away with it is that they do it under the banner of anti-Zionism.
Yes,
rather
sir.
Than anti-Semitism.
Yeah, and look, there are certain fair concerns that can be raised. In other words, Israel's not perfect. But when I did my talk at University of South Florida a couple weeks ago, I said, look, you know, when you join the Israeli army, the first thing they teach you is ethics and how to protect the lives of civilians, how to avoid civilian casualties in the midst of war. You know, tell me what other army spends that time doing that.
I think it would do a huge mitzvah to let people know that there actually are Arabs, Arab Christians and Arab Muslims serving in the Israeli army.
Yeah, look, the Arab Israelis constitute 20% of the population, 1.5 million, and the bulk of them are Muslim, as I understand it. And one of them serves on the Israeli Supreme Court. And not only so, they've been in parliament, in the Knesset, in Israeli Congress, from day one.
Yeah, hard to believe that that's an apartheid state, huh?
Right, exactly. So it's not to say that there aren't things done wrong. You know, we've got human beings involved. or there isn't certain Israeli harassment at checkpoints or whatever. But bear in mind, the Israeli soldiers are saying we're trying to keep murderers out. And you may not be a murderer, and the 1,000 people online behind you may not be murderers, but your people murdered ours, so there can be some hostility and negativity. But the fact is, whenever the choice was made in 1947 or in the generation before that, here's the solution, here's the split of the land, Jews get this, the Arabs get the rest. The Jews agreed each time, the Jewish leadership agreed. And if the Arabs, and I believe the Palestinians have been really used as pawns by the larger Arab world, my heart goes out to them. But if they had accepted in 1947 the UN partition plan, then they would be celebrating, you know, their 64th anniversary already as a state. So it's not to say everything Israel does is perfect, but the fact is, if Israeli soldiers in cold blood slaughtered Palestinian children, there would be a national outcry. There would be an uproar, protest in the streets, hundreds of thousands of Israelis marching, protesting. Whereas when it happens in the Muslim world, many of the Muslims are dancing in the streets over it.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, let me get to some other calls, but be in touch with us, email however you like once you get into the books, okay?
Yeah, sure.
All right, God bless you. Thanks for calling. 866-34-TRUTH. Hey, friends, as you sow into our ministry, you help us do things like that. Someone calls in, a Jewish man, traditional Jewish background, I think, doesn't believe in Jesus, Yeshua. We have an opportunity to sow materials into his hands. As you stand with us, you help us to do that. Reverend Bruce on Long Island, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi. I would like to, in hearing about the Zionism, I didn't know about this before I made my comments as to what I wanted to say. Briefly, I do agree because of the biblical scenarios that anti-Semitism will continue to go on the rise. But I believe it's unbiblical to say that Jewish Zionism is going to take over the world. First of all, because of the anti-Semitic feel for the Jewish people, and because of what you had said about the nations coming against Israel, and because of even in the prosperity that Israel had in Germany, they were hated partially because of their prosperity, and Germany turned on them. The world will not allow the Jewish Zionism to take them over. Israel can't even stay in their own country and own it as their own. How are they going to own the world? That is just ludicrous. It's unbiblical because of the anti-Semitic feel that's going to continue to grow as we come to the coming of the Messiah and towards Armageddon and Megiddo. It's impossible for the Jews to take over the world.
Yeah, and Reverend Bruce, let me say this. Again, we are not saying that Jewish people don't have faults or issues. We're human beings. We obviously do. And since most Jews are not followers of Jesus, sure, they're going to have false issues even as followers of Jesus do. Nor are we saying everything Israel ever does with its policies is perfect or right. That's not the issue. What we're saying, though, and it's between the words of everything Reverend Bruce just said, what we're saying is that this is ultimately a spiritual battle. In other words, this is ultimately not about Jews. This is about the purposes of God. Let me say again, this is not to say everything the Jewish people do is perfect. It is to say that this is a spiritual battle. It's ultimately about the purposes of God. That is what we're dealing with. Thank you for the call. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Michelle in Springfield, Virginia. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes. Hi, Dr. Brown.
Hello.
Thanks for taking the call. Your show is very innovative, and I love listening to you.
I appreciate that.
I just want to say that I'm getting ready to celebrate Passover with a few Gentile friends in Messianic, and they don't like to consider themselves as pagan dogs. They actually are grateful for being grafted in. But I can't really say whether anti-Semitism is on the rise or not because of the fact that I think it is with extremists. But I think there are Gentiles out there that are embracing Israel still to this day. But the Bible states that Jews will always be persecuted. And we have to remember that most Jews are not religious, but secular, I think maybe, I don't know, maybe even up to 99% of them. And they control the media, you know, Hollywood Jews, and they have money. But most in the land of Eretz Israel are poor. You know, 50% of their income go to the IDF because they're surrounded by hostile countries.
Yeah, let me jump in because we've got a break here. Secular Jews, non-traditional Jews, non-observant Jews, maybe that's 90% of the American population, and maybe it's 70-75% of the Israeli population, although still the biblical calendar is more lifestyle to them. Again, the thing that's clear to understand is we're not saying Jews perfect. We're not saying everything Israel does is right. We're saying that there is ultimately a satanic plot, satanic attempt to wipe out the Jewish people because of the purposes and plans of God. And yes, that Jew hatred does seem to be on the rise worldwide. It would not take much, friends, for the thing to just explode around the world.
God of light, hear our cry. Send the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire broadcast, 866-34 Truth. All right, our buddy Frank in New York City. How you doing, man?
Hey, what do you say, Michael? God bless you, man.
Bless you, buddy. Hey, hang on. Just before we go further, that reminds me, a week from Saturday, friends, everyone listening in WMCA, greater New York area, I'll be doing an intimate meet and greet just with about 50 people. It'll be at the Jews for Jesus building in Manhattan. We'll be doing an e-blast. MCA will be doing an e-blast, letting folks know about it. It'll be 6 to 8 in the evening, March 31st. That'll be a Saturday, just about 50 people. That's all we're going to have room for. So it's going to be a special night for all of our greater New York listeners. Okay, back to you, Frank. Thank you.
Yeah, Michael, I'll tell you what I think is going on with the Jews. The Jews are such a gifted people. And they excel in so many of the arts and sciences and medicine and everything that the rest of the world thinks it's a conspiracy. And I find it very amusing, you know. I grew up, Michael, I was born and raised not far from where you went to school, university. I was born and raised in Greenwich Village in Manhattan. And there was quite a few Jews in my neighborhood. And I have to tell you, even throughout my whole life, my trafficking with Jews, like 95% of my trafficking with Jewish people has been positive.
Mm-hmm.
It's been, they were always spoken of in such a high fashion in my household when I was a child. And it turned out to be true in my life. I do think that I'm almost positive of this, that the anti-Semitism, as we get closer to the coming of Christ, is going to get not only much worse, it's going to get horrific. And that frightens me. It really, really alarms me. And I talk to my Jewish friends about this, you know. And it's really unfortunate. But the Jewish people are absolutely wonderful people. Of course, there's bad ones here and there, like everybody
else.
Like
every other group.
Right. But they're gifted. They're wonderful, wonderful people. You know, people, I think what happened, Michael, is that people want the benefit of the Jew without having the Jew himself. They want the benefit of, like, in the business world and what happened in Hollywood and what happened in medicine and all of that. The contributions are absolutely enormous, out of proportion to their numbers.
Yeah, in fact, I did a whole TV show about that called World Changers when I did my Think It Through series. But Frank, it's interesting what you say in terms of, you know, have the benefits of what the people produce without the people. I mean, you can look at Israel itself, and modern state of Israel is unbelievably innovative. If people decided to boycott Israel, they'd end up boycotting half the products that they use, from cell phones to all these other things. And yet, those are often the same people don't want Israel. Hey, Frank, thanks for the call. And one thing, the best thing every believer can do is be a friend to the Jewish people. Doesn't mean to agree with everything Israel does. It doesn't mean that you accept theological beliefs that are different. It means, though, that you say, hey, as followers of Jesus, we are your true friends, and we are standing with you in solidarity. Thanks for the call, Frank, 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Brooklyn. Samson, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, sir. Thank you for answering my call.
You're welcome.
Yes, I've been listening to your program a while now. And I would like to know what the word Semitic means. I hear it repeatedly on your station, and I heard it numerous times on different stations. I'd like to know what is the meaning of the word.
Yeah, it refers to Jew hatred. Even though...
No, not anti-Semitic. The word Semitic. What the word Semitic means, not anti-Semitic.
Okay, yeah, okay. So I'm explaining. Anti-Semitism has a specific meaning. Semitic has to do with the Semitic peoples. It has to do with the peoples of the Middle East that speak Semitic language. That would be Hebrew. That would be Arabic. That would be Ethiopic language, the ancient languages of Babylon and Assyria. So the people of Iran are not Semitic. Their language base and cultural base is a little different. But the ancient Babylonians, the Hammurabis of old, the peoples of the Arab world, the Canaanites before the Jewish people, and then the people of Israel, those are all Semitic people. My PhD was in Semitic languages, ancient Semitic languages. That's what I focused on. However, the term anti-Semitic has been coined specifically to speak of Jew hatred. So it's a specific use of the word. It doesn't mean hatred of all Semites, but hatred of Jews in particular.
So would it be correct to say that Jews have manipulated that phrase, anti-Semitic, and applied it to themselves, while it says that
it was coined.
And they speak against them, it is not anti-Semitic.
Samson. It was coined. The term was coined. Jews did not manipulate this, Samson. It was coined to describe Jew hatred, okay? The term was coined to describe Jew hatred, and it's just been used for that. In fact, many Jewish scholars through the years have said, change it so it's not spelled anti, then dash, Semitism. Make it one word, anti-Semitism, because it speaks of a particular thing. No, so Jews haven't manipulated it. That's just what the term is used for. That's what it means. It's a dictionary definition, and that's how it's been used in popular parlance. But thank you for the call. All right, tell you what. Even though I was planning on switching gears in the next hour, I want to talk about some of these Jewish conspiracy theories a little bit. All right? So if you're on hold and you want to talk with me about anti-Semitism, or if you believe that there's a Zionist conspiracy to take over the world, I'm actually going to hold on to these calls, and not long from now, just a few minutes from now, you will be among the first to join us in the second hour of programming, all right? So just another reminder, friends, a week from Saturday, so that's March 31st, which is 9 days from today, we'll be doing an intimate meet and greet from 6 to 8 at the Jews for Jesus building in New York City. We'll give you details as to where that is, and we'll give you details tomorrow. And then if you're on the WMCA email list or my email list, you'll be getting an announcement about it. There'll be a number to call or an email address for RSVP because space is totally limited. This is not a big public rally. This is a meet and greet. I'm going to share my heart, some of the vision, get to interact with you. We've had these. They've been very special wherever we've done them. So put that on your calendar so we can meet together. We'll also let you know how you can stand with us in the ministry that night. Friends, get hold. There's a limited amount of these. Place your order today for our collector's edition of my new book, The Real Kosher Jesus, due out April 3rd. $50, postage paid. It's hardcover. We're the only ministry that has hardcover. And you can get it. It's a numbered edition, only the first 500. That's it. And then I'll be signing them with a scripture for you. All right? Call 1-800-278-9978. And you're also sowing into our ministry. The funds are going to help us do these very things that we're doing right here on the Line of Fire, being a voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity. 1-800-278-9978. Or go online, askdrbrown.org, click on the Line of Fire. If you want to order bunches of them to give out, go to amazon.com because they've got the paperback at an outrageously low price. Order tons of them there to give out to your friends for outreach. Get the collector's item for yourself. My bottom line, I don't doubt that as we get closer to the end of the age, the tide of anti-Semitism will continue to rise. It's not about Israel. It's not about the Jews. It's about God. It's a satanic battle with God. The good news is God will triumph. from the rising tide of anti-Semitism worldwide to the scriptures, the time of the coming of Messiah. We'll tackle it today, right here on The Line of Fire.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Friends, it is my joy to be with you today on The Line of Fire. Not just your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution, but your voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity in the midst of a society in chaos, a church often in compromise. It's Thursday, which means thoroughly Jewish Thursday here in The Line of Fire. Great to have you with us. We've been talking the first hour about anti-Semitism. Is it rising worldwide? Jew hatred? Some people believe there's actually a Jewish conspiracy to take over the world and that Israel is dominating the world and that America is actually a pawn of Israel. Some people believe that. If that's you, you get to call in and get free airtime, but come with as many facts as you have to reveal the truth about the Jewish desire to take over the entire world. If you believe that, I want to hear why. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I also want to get to the subject of the timing of the coming of the Messiah. When can we expect, when could Jews expect the Messiah to come according to the Hebrew Scriptures, even according to Jewish tradition? Was he expected before the Second Temple was destroyed? Was he expected almost 2,000 years ago? Here's a quote that was just sent to me. From the website of Dr. Stephen Sizer, Reverend Dr. Stephen Sizer. Now, I understand he had some good dialogue with some of my Messianic Jewish friends following or in the midst of a controversial conference in Bethlehem that took place, within the last 2 weeks. And Reverend Sizer says, speaking of Jerusalem, today we have to live with the reality of a Jerusalem that is associated with apartheid and racism, with exclusive claims that can only be sustained by oppression and injustice, by military occupation, the denial of human rights, the disregard for international law, access to religious sites, and freedom of expression. Boy, I could not disagree with a statement much more strongly than I disagree with that statement. And although I do hope that there's continued dialogue with Reverend Sizer and others, and we'd definitely like to have him on the show here so that we can discuss these things and dialogue about them together, in point of fact, this idea of Jerusalem associated with apartheid and racism, with exclusive claims that can only be sustained by oppression and injustice, by military occupation, denial of human rights, disregard for international law, access to religious sites, and freedom of expression. I mean, that is so mind-boggling to me. I don't want to get into the whole situation of Israel today, but let me just say, a friend and I have been reflecting on this a lot. It seems that if someone has a theology that God is finished with Israel, if someone has a theology that Israel does not have a divine right to be in the land today, if someone has a theology that the promises to Israel are now taken over by the church, it is very, very easy for that person to come away with a view of Israel as an evil occupier, regardless of the facts, regardless of the realities of what's happening on the ground. Now, I understand others could be so pro-Israel that they can't fault Israel for anything, and that everything is the fault of the Palestinians and that Israel is guiltless. I understand people can have biased views both ways. But when I read a statement like this that to me can only be called extreme, imbalanced, inaccurate, in certain ways outright untruthful, from someone that I understand to be very, very sincere in his beliefs and convictions, I can only say these things further open the door to Jew hatred in the world today and further perpetuate the negative image of Christianity in the minds of many Jews. We'll be back.
We'll be right back. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us today on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. In the first hour, we got quite a call from a gentleman in Boston that wanted to explain the Jewish conspiracy for world domination. And he even explained that the station to which he listens in Boston, which is a Salem station, Salem Communications Station, Christian-owned, Christian-operated, that there is a heavy Jewish influence, some kind of a dominant influence, because Jay Sekulow and I were on the air there. And to give further proof of Jewish domination, we were beating the war drums against Iran. Somehow, beating the war drums. I asked, could he give me any instance in any way where I ever did that? Of course, his answer was no, but it was the tone. And I said, well, by his tone, I deduce that he is actually trying to keep me on the air long enough to find out where I am and then bomb me. He paused for a while, and he said, well, you can't go by assumptions. I said, exactly. That's my whole point. We had someone else on hold. Oh, I wanted to hear from also one who believed that the Jews were trying to take over the entire world. But let's take a few more minutes on the subject of anti-Semitism. Is it on the rise today, the tragic murder of the Jewish rabbi and children, you know, four-year-old kids shot down in cold blood on their way into Jewish school by an Islamic extremist? And again, we're not saying that the majority of Muslims would sanction this. I'm not saying that at all. Although I did have a Muslim tell me when I spoke at University of South Florida, he said, of course, it's absolutely wrong that Palestinian terrorists killed rabbi and his children in cold blood, husband, wife, and absolute horrific murder. I mean, the family, other family members wanted pictures released so the faces are blotted out, but absolutely horrific. There are even reports that the three-month-old was not just stabbed in the heart but decapitated. Just unreal. And even though many Palestinians absolutely condemned it in the strongest possible terms, there was a minority, substantial minority, that praised it, and then other terrorist groups praising it as well, the ones that carried it out. But this Muslim, very gentle in our dialogue back and forth, he told me that the Israelis are doing that to the Palestinians every day. I said, they're slaughtering little children in cold blood every day. He goes, oh, yeah. So these types of perceptions are so bogus, are so false, are so destructive that you have a tragedy that takes place in France, and some say, yeah, well, that's just what happens in Gaza all the time. Like, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? But that's reality to some. That's where we've got to do our best to go back to truth. 866-34-TRUTH. Yeah, that's the number to call. We only want truth here. 866-3487-884. Before I switch subjects, let me spend a little more time talking about rising anti-Semitism. Jews in more and more countries are feeling more uncomfortable. And look, to the extent there are economic problems in different countries in the world, to that extent, Jews will get scapegoated. Why? You gotta scapegoat somebody, and it's just the way it happens. And it's a spiritual thing that Jews are going to get blamed. It's a spiritual thing more than a natural thing. I just read a post. I've not been able to get into any depth on it at all, but that a majority of people living in Spain blame the Jews for failures in their economy. Spain. When I wrote Our Hands Are Stained with Blood 20 years ago, I came across examples of best-selling books and authors in Japan saying that problems in the Jewish economy, in the Japanese economy, were based on Jews. Jews were responsible. Israel is responsible. Japan! 866-34-TRUTH. So let's stay with this subject of anti-Semitism a little bit longer. Do you see it increasing worldwide? Do you expect it to? Jew hatred. You expect it to increase worldwide. And if you do believe that there's a Jewish conspiracy to take over the world, I want to hear from you. I want you to give me whatever facts you have. Peter in Queens, New York, thanks for a call in the line of fire.
Thank you, Dr. Mike. How are you?
Good, man. Thanks.
All right. Do I believe it's conspiracy? Not necessarily conspiracy. Listen, the fact of the matter is, the
that the Jewish people have a commonality. That commonality is their tradition. Their tradition was initiated by God. What's our commonality as Christians? Christ. That was initiated by God. Yes, they're going to stick together. Yes, they're going to look after each other. Yes, they're going to help each other. Do they have a conspiracy to take over the world and put us into under subjection to them? No. However, my life experience growing up in Brooklyn is they stick together. That's just the way they do it. That's just who they are. So instead of being angry at the Jewish people who God placed on this earth and chose for whatever reason he did, instead of being angry at them, I submit to my fellow Americans and my Christian brothers and sisters that we take a page out of their book. Rather than finger point, why don't we band together and bond ourselves together as they do? And when we do that, just maybe we would see exactly what they see, that they need to stick together. Look at our times. These times, they're increasingly evil, Doc. And we really, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we have no choice but to stick together. Greater love has no man that he lays down his life for his brother or his friend. And, you know, who is my neighbor? Who is my friend? Everybody out there. So I have to say, shame on my brothers and sisters in Christ who claim to be Christians and follow Messiah, but yet they have a problem with other people doing what they were chosen to do.
All right.
So I admonish all you guys, men and women, look after your children by getting involved in your community, your politics, for the sake of Christ. Change the hearts and minds of your neighbors and our politicians. Maybe life will be just a little bit better until Messiah comes. That's it.
All right. Hey, Peter, thanks for weighing in. I appreciate it, buddy.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right. 866-34-TRUTH, an anonymous call from somewhere in New York City. Go ahead.
Because of his call accusing you prompted me to make this call.
Uh-huh.
Last night and this morning, I heard on the WINS News, New York City Radio, that there are cells in New York City related to Iran that have been seen taking pictures of important buildings in New York City. Now, that's all I'm saying about this because I'm not a professional on talking on radio and trying not to make it sound so bad, but it sounds very serious according to what was said on the radio.
Now, where did you hear this?
On the radio in New York City News.
Uh-huh.
The station is called WINS.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Sure.
That's the only radio.
Right. So you're saying that there are Iranians who are taking pictures of important buildings in New York.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Yes. Hey, listen. Thank you. Thank you for the call and reporting that. There's no question in my mind that there are terrorists from different parts of the world that are here in America that have been here for many years. And some for shorter periods of time, and that are doing what they can to attack us and are doing what they can to come up with plans to try to take us down, and that there's a lot of security that thwarts them along the way or other things stop them along the way or the Lord intervenes along the way. So I have no zero information on this report whatsoever, so I appreciate the call with the report. But that would not surprise me. That would not surprise me. Now, they could be Iranian tourists taking pictures of buildings just like other tourists do. And if it's so conspicuous that we know they're from Iran and we know they're taking pictures, then they could not be the highest level terrorists because you're not exactly going to get caught doing that if you are. But again, I have zero idea about that. Just heard it the first time. Now I don't hear every single thing that's happening in the news. You say, that's scary. That makes me nervous. Well, the first thing is your life right with God? Is your own life right with God? That's the first question. Second question, are you taking refuge in him and honoring him? The fact of the matter is, you get hit by a car, more likely you get hit by a car, get in a car accident, than you get in a terrorist attack. What, 100 to 1, 1,000 to 1? Probably far more likely you get hit by lightning Every day there's potential calamity. Somebody could come your way with a serious illness. You catch it. In other words, you just got to trust God. We can't live with fear. We're trying to get an understanding of what's happening and get our finger on the pulse of what's happening, but we don't live with fear. We don't live responding to terror or talk of terror, but it does help us to look at our own lives to be sure that we're right with the Lord, that we know Him, that we love Him, and that we're in His hands. And that breaks the power of fear when we rightly take hold of that. 866-34-TRUTH. Take a little bit more time on anti-Semitism and then switch over to some messianic prophecy issues. We'll be back.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. We're talking about rising tide of anti-Semitism worldwide. What we can expect, is there a Jewish conspiracy to take over the world? As some believe. 866-34-TRUTH, online, AskDrBrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. Kit in Liberty. Kit's gone. We get Kit on, then we lose Kit. And I didn't know if I saw Kit from Liberty, Texas. That told me that there was this someone believing the conspiracy? It's interesting. We had a caller earlier that believed in the conspiracy theory that Jews were trying to take over the entire world. And you know what happened? When I got to that caller, they were gone. They were gone. So I think that the Jewish network found out that this person was about to reveal truth, and they kind of cut their phone lines or something. Yeah, just some of them really think so. I don't want to abuse your emotions. I was just having a little fun. 866-34-TRUTH. By the way, we still have a limited edition, limited number left of our collector's edition. Some of the first 500 that we're numbering and signing of our hardcover edition of The Real Kosher Jesus. I cannot wait for this book to come out. April 3rd, it's due out, so that's less than 2 weeks from now. Beautifully produced. The book will be an eye-opening read for you as a follower of Jesus and a great tool to give to a Jewish friend. In coming weeks, we're going to be doing some special Jewish outreach shows on Thursday in conjunction with the book and getting books into your hands to give to your Jewish friends. Get this collector's edition. Give us a call, 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978, online, AskDrBrown.org. You can order it just by clicking on the online bookstore. And if you want to get them in bulk, paperback in bulk, not the collector's edition, not the special one for your gift of $50 to our ministry, go to Amazon.com where they are priced. I don't know how they got priced so low, a pre-order there, and order by the bunches. Order 10, 20, or 30, or 50, and give them out, really. Or if you want to order 50, call us. We'll cut your deal. Good Messianic Jewish deal. All right. As I have examined anti-Semitism, Jew hatred, over the years, I understand that as a people, we were often under God's curses, not His blessings. In Old Testament times and things that we've suffered over the centuries have often been because of our disobedience, not because of our obedience. I understand that. I understand we're not a perfect people any more than any human beings are perfect people. And I'm not saying that everything that modern Israel does today is perfect and right, and that Israel doesn't have its faults and flaws. In fact, if you go to Israel just starry-eyed, idealize, oh, the Holy Land and the holy people. Well, you'll find amazing things in Israel and amazing sites with holy background and something special about Israel for sure, and you'll find a whole lot of human beings there, regular people. Oh, you don't like horns blowing and aggressive driving, don't try to drive in Israel, by the way. The fact of the matter is, though, as I examine anti-Semitism and I've looked at it through history, it is unique in so many ways that I recognize it is demonic. I recognize that in many, many ways there is a satanic attack to destroy the Jewish people, because God has given promises to Israel, and because God sent the Messiah through Israel and gave the law through Israel and revealed the one true God through Israel. Because of this, there is extreme Jew hatred by Satan. So anti-Semitism is the world's longest hatred. Oh, blacks have been hated by different groups. Other minorities have been hated by different groups. People who are different countries have been hated by different groups. But the continual hatred of the Jews, because they're Jews, for at least 2,300 years, if not longer, is unprecedented. And after 2,300 years, it's burning as brightly and demonically as it ever has. And it is the most widespread hatred. I document this in Our Hands Are Stained with Blood. I document this in my book, 60 Questions Christians Ask About Jewish Beliefs and Practices. I document this on my outreach video on the Think It Through TV show that we did on anti-Semitism. You can watch it by going to AskDrBrown.org. Click on Think It Through. It's free. You can watch the video there or get those books. Not only is it the world's longest hatred, it's the world's most widespread. It goes from atheistic Russian leaders to Islamic extremists to famous leaders in church history to secular Japanese to black supremacists and white supremacists, both have in common hatred of Jews. What is it about the Jewish people? What is it about Israel? There's something supernatural about the hatred. It's the longest hatred. It's the most widespread. It's the most irrational. I'm not going to get into all the irrational lies that have been told about the Jews through history, but, I mean, the idea that Jews control the Vatican, I've read that. That Jews are trying to infect the entire world with AIDS, I've read that. There are scandalous lies told about the Jewish people, as extreme as you can possibly imagine. Every year, this is believed still in much of the Muslim world, Jews will kidnap, used to be a Christian child. In the Christian world, Christians believe this. It could be someone else now. They'll kidnap this innocent victim and will torture the person, crucify them, that's part of it often, and then drain their blood, and then use the blood in making Passover matzahs. We're about to celebrate Passover. Use the blood in making Passover matzah, if you can imagine that. Yes. This is believed today. The Nazis believed it. It's believed in the Muslim world. I've met people who had relatives that would not eat matzah because they thought there was blood in it. It is anti-Semitism, Jew hatred, the world's longest hatred, the world's most widespread hatred, the world's most irrational hatred, and a continually, exceptionally vicious hatred. Why? Because the devil hates God. And the devil wants to make God into a liar by wiping out the Jewish people whom God has promised to preserve until the end of the world. And the devil hates the purposes of God and knows that Israel's salvation and turning to the Messiah is key in terms of the Lord's return. And because the oracles of God were given to the Jewish people, therefore Satan hates them. It is irrational, it is demonic, it is destructive, and it is the truth with which we combat anti-Semitism and prayer and love with which we combat anti-Semitism, and by loving Jewish people as Jesus would. Again, let me remind you to get your collector's edition of Kosher Jesus, the real Kosher Jesus. Shmuley wrote Kosher Jesus. I wrote the real Kosher Jesus. Collector's edition, be out in less than 2 weeks. Numbered, hardcover, signed, for your gift of $50 to help us in our Jewish outreach and everything we do here on the Line of Fire. 1-800-278-9978, or you can just order the non-collector's edition, but the exact same hardcover, just not signed, not numbers, for just $30. You pick whichever's better for you. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. Let us combat error with the truth.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
What a joy to be with you today on the line of fire. I've spent an hour and a half talking about the subject of anti-Semitism, talking about the subject of Jew hatred rising around the world. Can we expect more and more of this in days to come? And even hearing from at least one gentleman who was convinced that there was a worldwide Jewish conspiracy. But we're done with that after an hour and a half. I've been wanting to move on to a fascinating, fascinating subject on this Thursday, which means Thoroughly Jewish Thursday on the Line of Fire. I've been wanting to get to this very interesting subject and take some time to talk about the timing of the coming of the Messiah. The timing of the coming of the Messiah. Was he expected to come 2,000 years ago? And this is something I get into as well in my forthcoming book, The Real Kosher Jesus. And in The Real Kosher Jesus, I have a chapter called The Secret of the 6,000 Years. So I want to take some time to open that up with you today. 866-348-7884. Online, AskDrBrown.org. Click on the line of fire. I want to get into that subject with you. And if in fact we can demonstrate, according to the scriptures, that the Messiah was expected to come before the second temple was destroyed, then it has to be Jesus. Otherwise, there'll be no Messiah. I debated an Orthodox Jewish rabbi in Chicago area 1993, I believe it was. I believe you can watch that free on my website. Sid Roth had it videotaped for us. We didn't have all special lighting that night, so it is not the best well-lit debate you'll ever see, but perfectly clear, and you can hear every word very clearly. Rabbi Dr. David Blumhoff and I debated whether Jesus was the Messiah. And Rabbi Blumhoff made the comment, quoting from a previous Jewish leader, woe to the world if this is the way the world is and the Messiah has come. Something to that effect, if I recall. And my reply was, woe to the world if this is the state of the world and the Messiah has not yet come, because he had to come before the second temple was destroyed. And that happened in the year 70. So that means either Jesus or someone else, yeah, pick someone else, right, that lived before that time was the Messiah, and we can expect him then to finish his mission, or there never will be a Messiah. Throw the Bible out, because it's not true. Because what God said didn't come to pass, because God made promises, laid out a certain sequence of events that would take place, and it didn't happen. Many Jews would say, no. We know from the Bible, and then it's explained more fully by Jewish tradition, that when the Messiah comes, he'll establish peace on the earth. I mean, peace on the earth has not been established. 2,000 years have been bloody, terrible, 20th century bloodiest of all time. Obviously, we don't have the end of war, peace on the earth, obviously. Human suffering continues to take place around the earth at a horrific rate, pain, agony, death, constant, since Jesus came. So Jews would say we can't be the Messiah, because when the Messiah comes, he'll establish peace on the earth. We'll know he's the Messiah because he regathers the Jewish exiles, brings the Jewish people in obedience to Torah law and to Jewish tradition, rebuilds the temple, fights the wars of the Lord, and establishes universal peace on the earth. That's how we'll know he's the Messiah, because he completes the messianic mission. Jesus didn't do that. I said, you're looking at prophecies N through Z, or 6 through 10. What about prophecies A through M, or prophecies 1 through 5? In other words, first the Messiah had to come and do certain things and establish certain things and die as an atoning sacrifice for the sins of the world and be rejected by his own people, rise from the dead, have his message received in the Gentile world before the mission would be finished. The only one who can do 6 through 10 is the one who did 1 through 5. Either Jesus is the Messiah of the Jewish people, or the Jewish people will never have a Messiah.
God of burning, cleansing flame, send the fire. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire. I want to open up the scriptures to you. 866-34-TRUTH. I want to share some Jewish tradition with you as well. As we talk about the time of the coming of the Messiah, and in my book, The Real Kosher Jesus, I have a section called The Secret of the 6,000 Years. The plan that the Lord gave me, I really believe this was from the Lord, the plan was to write the book not just as a response to my friend Rabbi Shmuley's book. We do go after each other in our books and both endorsed one another's books with honor and respect in the midst of our differences. But I felt the strategy was not just to respond to and rebut his Kosher Jesus book, his well-written, passionate Kosher Jesus book, with which I passionately differ, but also to make this the great discovery tool for a Jewish person. Take them on a journey. And for the Christian reader, for the Messianic Jewish reader, it'd be a great discovery for you too, the way things open up, the way we open up who Yeshua really is. And you'll find it a fascinating read, but a perfect book to give to a Jewish person with questions or who's at least remotely interested to hear more about Jesus or who's read Kosher Jesus, Shmuley's book. So the first part of the book is Jesus, Yeshua, Yeshu. Who is he? Who is he? Yeshua, Jesus, Yeshu. Who is he? You say, what's Yeshu? Yeshu is the way that most Israelis would pronounce his name. That's how they learned it. And Yeshu is the way traditional Jews pronounce his name. The name would have been pronounced in its earliest form, Yeshua, with an ion, which I'm not saying clearly. And Yeshua, there are some Jewish linguists that believe at a certain point that dropped out, hence Yeshu and then Yeshu. But in point of fact, when a traditional Jew says Yeshu, he's also thinking of the acronym, each of these letters, Yeshu, which is four letters in Hebrew, and that would stand for, or three letters, excuse me, would stand for Yimach Shemo V'Zichro, may his name and memory be obliterated. Now, that being the case, the question is, when an Israeli says Yeshu, you know, we want to correct it and say Yeshua, who he really is, and so on, but that's almost secondary to the bigger issues. Who is he really? The God of the Catholic Church, the divine Messiah of the New Testament, a Jewish patriot that got hidden in the pages of the New Testament. Who is he really? That's what we get into and show him as a prophet as well and open up dimensions of the Lamb of God. And you'll find it fascinating. And then the second section, which is a little bit shorter, from kosher Jesus to unkosher Christianity. How did that happen? Was it Paul? Did he change everything? And then the last section, I've got a couple of short things after that. The last section is basically the secret section, the secret of the invisible God who can be seen, the secret of the atoning power of the death of the righteous, the secret of the priestly Messiah, the suffering Messiah, the secret of the 6,000 years, the secret of the hidden wisdom. That's all in the book. Trust me, you'll find it a fascinating read. So what's with the secret of the 6,000 years? Let me back my way into that by first talking about scriptural expectations. I have a threefold argument for the Messiah coming before the second temple was destroyed based on scripture. First, we have in Haggai, the second chapter, this is a prophecy after the return from exile. Solomon's temple had been destroyed. Now, a new temple had been built. It was the second temple, but it did not resemble in power and majesty Solomon's temple. But worse still, it didn't have the Ark of the Covenant with the tablets of the law. It didn't have that with the Ten Commandments. It didn't have the Urim and the Tumim. It didn't have Aaron's rod that budded. And when the tabernacle was dedicated, the presence of the Lord was there, the fire of God. When Solomon dedicated his temple, the fire fell and consumed the sacrifices. There was no divine fire. The rabbis and the Talmud say that the Shekhinah, the presence of God, was not there the way it was at Solomon's temple. And yet, in Haggai 2, God says the glory of this house will be greater than the glory of the first house. other words, the glory of the second temple will be greater than the glory of the first temple. Now, there are some rabbis and counter-missionaries that say, you know what that means? That's talking about a future temple still, a third temple. You mean to tell me there's any possible way that Haggai was thinking that when he prophesied it, or any of the people there would have dreamed it in 100 years that he wasn't talking about that temple that he was referring to? Obviously, it's the second temple, and that's the majority, vast majority view of all commentators and Jewish tradition recognizes it. God says, the silver and the gold is mine, right? The desirable things of all nations will come. And he says, I will fill this temple with glory. God says that. So does it mean glory in the sense of splendor and building materials? Well, Herod spent decades beautifying the temple and expanding it. It became a massive, extraordinary structure. Is that what it means? God said the glory of the second temple would be greater than the glory of the first temple. Is that what it means? Well, the problem is when God says, I will fill it with glory, that expression, fill with glory, is the exact expression used in Exodus 40, the exact expression that's used with the dedication of the second temple by Solomon. God filled it with glory. It's talking about his presence. It's talking about his manifestation. How was the second temple more visited by God's presence and more filled with his glory than the first? Next line of evidence, Malachi, the third chapter. Malachi chapter 3 tells us that God himself, the Lord himself, will visit that temple and bring purging and bring cleansing, especially to the priestly leadership. When did that happen? When was there actually a divine visitation to the temple? When was there actually a divine visitation with cleansing at the temple? When did that happen? And then third line of evidence, Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 to 27. Now, many people, and I did this for years, and I'm not saying it's wrong to. Please hear me. I'm not saying it's wrong to do this. But many people have looked in Daniel 9 and tried to set specific dates. I just got a question posted about this the other day. Daniel is praying. It's the 70 years of exile. He's been in exile almost 70 years. He knows it's time for the Jewish people to return to the land of Israel, return to Judah, and to rebuild the temple. And God speaks to him. The angel Gabriel comes and basically says it's not 70 years. It's 70 periods of seven, universally, almost universally understood to mean 70 times 7 years, 490 years. 77s are decreed for your people and your holy city to finish transgression, to put an end to sin, to atone for wickedness, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. No one understands this from the issuing of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until an anointed one, the ruler, comes. There will be 77 sevens and 62 sevens, or seven sevens, and then 62 sevens. It'll be rebuilt, so on. I don't want to get into the technical details. It's a little hard just to follow listening on radio in that way. But when was the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem? Someone sent me a note, wasn't it 457? And at 457, if you look at the total years, 483 years, that gets you to around 27. When Jesus begins his ministry, 26, 27 begins his ministry, and that would be a perfect prophecy. The problem is it's very difficult to date what this decree is, what this word is to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. And then there's debate about the division of the weeks and so on, and the one anointed, is the one anointed one too? I've addressed that on the radio. None of those things are battlegrounds for me. What I see is at the end of this, the end of the 70th week, the temple will be destroyed. The temple and city will be destroyed. It's obviously the Roman armies that will come and do this. So from the time Daniel talks until the time of the destruction of the second temple, these important things had to happen, which were more important than the Jews returning from exile, more important than just the rebuilding of the temple. Something bigger was going to happen. And this is for the people of Israel, the Jewish people, and the holy city of Jerusalem, to finish transgression, which would mean to bring it to completion. Jesus said to the leaders of his day, fill up the measure of your sins. If you're going to reject me, crucify me, fill up the measure of your sins. Finish transgression, put an end to sin, atone for wickedness, bring in everlasting righteousness, seal up vision and prophecy, and anoint the most holy. Now here's the question. If Jesus came indeed as the Messiah and brought the glory of the presence of God, he was the walking glory of God, the walking Shekhinah, as one rabbi said to me many years ago when he understood what I believed about Jesus. If he could bring this presence with him, and then he sent his spirit after he died and rose, sent the spirit to that very same temple. That would be a greater glory than the temple, first temple ever experienced. And he himself, the Lord, visited that temple. God incarnate visited that temple. And then brought to completion the culmination, the sin and guilt of the nation by them rejecting the Messiah, and then atoned for wickedness and brought an everlasting righteousness, sealed up vision and prophecy, anointed the Most Holy, which could have several different possible meanings. If he did all that, then it works perfectly. Without him, there's no Messiah. Without him, those things that had to happen could not happen. Only the Messiah could do it. He did it. That gives me confidence the rest will happen. Ah, we have the deposit down payment. The rest is assured. We have the first coming. The second coming will happen.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, time to get into this notion of the secret of the 6,000 years. And if you have Volume 1 of Answering Jewish Objections to Jesus, then you'll see I get into this somewhat there in Volume 1. And I get into it now in The Real Kosher Jesus in the section called The Secret of the 6,000 Years. And are you ready? Are you ready? There's a fascinating Talmudic tradition that says the world will exist 6,000 years. 2,000 years of desolation, meaning from Adam to Abraham. 2,000 years of Torah, meaning from Abraham to somewhere around the beginning of the Common Era. The reason that we say beginning with Abraham in Jewish tradition is it's believed that he received a full revelation of the written and oral law by God. Hence in Genesis 26:5, it says that he kept the laws of God, which Jews interpret to mean the written and oral. Of course, it's not the logical reading of the verse there, but that's how traditional Jews read it. So 2,000 years of Torah from Abraham to somewhere around the beginning of the Common Era, and 2,000 years of the Messianic Era, meaning roughly the last 2,000 years, but because our iniquities were many, all this has been lost. In other words, the Messiah did not come at the expected time. This is in the Talmud, Sanhedrin, Tractate Sanhedrin 97a and b. So according to this Jewish tradition, which is actually quite well known, the Messiah was supposed to come 2,000 years ago, or based on the traditional rabbinic chronology, which has a significant error, about 1,850 years ago. As explained by Rashi, the foremost Jewish Talmud and Bible commentator, after the 2,000 years of Torah, it was God's decree that the Messiah would come and the wicked kingdom would come to an end and the subjugation of Israel would be destroyed. Instead, because Israel's sins were many, the Messiah has not come to this very day now, 2,000 years later. Now, here's what's interesting. If you look at rabbinic tradition just on a flat-out reading, then it would say the Messiah should have come, like 200, in the year like 240 or something like that, and then we should have been enjoying the Messianic era beginning now until, you know, for a 2,000-year period. If you adjust for the chronological error that's in the rabbinic dating, he would have come around the time that the first temple was destroyed, maybe even right before it, depending on exactly where you put it. All that to say, he was expected a long time ago. Jewish tradition tells us he was expected a long time ago. Something happened. Something happened. The traditional view is, because our sins, Israel's sins, were many, the Messiah has not come to this very day. Isn't it more logical to say, because our sins were many, we missed him when he came, because he had to come at a specific time? Now, I don't mean that this rabbinic tradition is airtight and a word from the Lord the way I look at Scripture, but I look at it as supporting this concept that the Messiah should have come before the Second Temple was destroyed, or within a century or two of that. This idea that the Messiah still hasn't come, something is fundamentally wrong with that based on this rabbinic tradition. And in The Real Kosher Jesus, which again, I encourage you to get hold of. By the way, if you want to get them in bulk to give out to friends, I just happened to discover, and it's not like a secret, but I just happened to discover that on Amazon, I guess with the publisher, I'm not sure how, but the price got greatly reduced. If you just want to order a bunch of paperbacks, we've got the only hardcover edition. Remember, we alone have the hardcover edition. So you get the hardcover from us for yourself to give to a friend, a nice hardcover edition. We've got a collector's item for you, which is signed and numbered hardcover edition, where you make a gift to our ministry of $50 or more. But if you just want to get a bunch of these to hand out, we'll have the paperback as well. But I'm just telling you that there's a great price on Amazon. So if you want to go to Amazon.com and pre-order them, it'll be out in less than 2 weeks. Go crazy over there. Order a bunch of them, all right, and give them out to your friends as well. But in The Real Kosher Jesus, I recount an interpretation of this passage from the Vilna Gaon, great genius, great rabbinic leader, lived in the 1700s, I think 1720 to 1797, if my memory serves me right. And he also points out a tradition in the Talmud that says the Son of David, that is the Messiah, will not come until all the government has turned to heresy. What does that mean? All the government will turn to heresy. Well, do you know in the laws about the skin condition called Sara'at in Leviticus 13:14, normally translated leprosy, although it's different than leprosy we know today, that one way when the person would be considered clean was if they became white from head to toe. In other words, the condition spread through their entire body, and they were covered and white from head to toe, they were considered clean. And that's the illustration used in the Talmud for this concept that the Messiah will not come until all the government has turned to heresy. So in the view of the Vilna Gaon and some others, the entire world would have to fall into apostasy. The entire world would fall into perhaps Christianity from their point of view. And then that would be the final apostasy, the whole world in darkness, after which the Messiah would be revealed. But in the Vilna Gaon's mind, the Messianic era began. It began, in his view, you'd say, 18 centuries ago, roughly, and we'd say close, very, very close. It began then not with the salvation of the world, but with the apostasy of the world. And he says that mankind will realize that the only way to convert himself back into a true human, a godlike being filled with wisdom, love, kindness, and an exalted spirit, is by the acceptance of God's dominion. And when God demonstrates all this and man recognizes it, Mashiach will finally come. When did this process begin? According to this great rabbinic teacher, with the advent of the last third of human history. The era of Mashiach, Messiah, may not be apparent, but it is here. In other words, the Messiah came right on schedule, or the Messianic era began right on schedule, except not with the salvation of the world, but with the world getting increasingly dark and apostate. We would say the Messiah came right on time, and there's ever-increasing awareness of the Messiah in the midst of great darkness and apostasy. The Vilna Gaon said that the Messianic era began without the coming of the Messiah. We say it began with his coming, and we open all this up in the secret of the 6,000 years in the Real Kosher Jesus book. Get one of the collector's editions for yourself or as a special present to someone. Hardcover, but only the first 500, so it's a very limited number. Numbered and signed for your gift of $50, which obviously pays for the book and then helps us with this radio outreach, helps us with Jewish outreach to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, helps us equip the church, helps us spark moral culture revolution, helps us raise up, send out missionaries around the world. You're joining us. You are a part of that with us. Get this collector's edition, $50, postage paid, or you can just order a regular hardcover for $30. Exact same book, but not numbered or signed. Call 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978 to order. One more time, 1-800-278-9978 or online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the line of fire. My bottom line today, it is wonderful to know that the Messiah came right on schedule, just as the scriptures said he would, and he did what he had to do for the first part of his mission. That gives me absolute, total confidence he will come at the expected time and finish the Messianic mission.